my business.
Hello, this is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 35. Hope you're doing well today. It's a beautiful Sacramento evening here, about 75 degrees, and I'm sure none of you care about that. We had a very special Mr. T remix of the Retro Crush podcast theme song as a special shout-out birthday present to Retro Crush listener Kevin Smith, who turns 39 today. Got a nice letter from his wife letting us know that Kevin Smith listens to our show quite a bit there. And you can hear my email pulling in the background. And I was just laughing in the email he said the other day that they had a talk like Mr. T day. And everybody in the family had to talk like Mr. T. So I'm thinking of doing that ourselves here at our house. So happy birthday to you, and in honor of your birthday here, Kevin Smith is a special Mr. T commercial for 1-800-COLLECT.
Tommy, there's an inspector here to see you. Tell him I'm making a call.
I ain't got time for no jibber-jabber. Inspector Collect is here to educate you about calling Collect.
What's the big deal?
The deal is, when you dial 1-800-COLLECT, you say to people you called at least a buck or two.
How am I supposed to remember that?
It's a Collect call, fool. Just put 1-800 before it.
Put the 1-800 before Collect.
What do you say we gold plate these babies?
Good old Mr. T there. I guess he's got a new show coming out as well on the Comedy Central channel there, so we'll be looking out for that. And, hey, speaking of Comedy Central, I am pretty excited because South Park's new season starts again this Wednesday night, so make sure you check this out. Well, we just got pretty much a giant potpourri of cool commercial audio that I wanted to play for you today, so this is just sort of the potluck of commercials. And some celebrity commercials from longer ago. Most of these are late 70s, early 80s commercials I dug out for today. And the first pair of which have Orson Welles featured in them. The first one's from a really cool game called Dark Tower. I believe it came out around 81. And it was this electronic board game with kind of a Dungeons and Dragons feel to it. And you would move your pieces around, and this tower lit up and made all kinds of cool sounds and that. So they called upon Orson Welles to do the hosting of this commercial. So here you go. It's Orson Welles' commercial for Dark Tower.
Last night I journeyed backwards in time to the medieval world of Dark Tower. In this amazing game, I had to find three keys, lay siege to the tower, and defeat the enemy within. Each move was a challenge. The computer kept track, giving me secret information, pictures, sounds, surprises. Then, ahead of my opponent, I made my move. The battle was joined.
And I was victorious. Dark Tower, from MB Electronics.
Mommy, will you buy me that game that crazy old fat man is advertising? It sounds intriguing. This next bit is actually outtakes from some wine commercials that Orson Welles was taping, and as you can hear from the sound of it, he sampled the product quite a bit before the camera started rolling here. I believe this is for Paul Masson Wineries, and a very famous slogan that came from those at the time was when Orson would say, "I will sell no wine before it's time." Back then, I guess you could get a lot more crappy wine than there is now. In fact, here in California, I don't know if they're in other states, but there's this great store called Trader Joe's where you can get all kinds of cheap wine, and they're really famous for having this wine by Charles Shaw that's nicknamed Two Buck Chuck that you can get for $1.99, and it's just a great deal to get just drunk off your ass off without a lot of coin to spend. It used to be cheap wine was the realm of hobos, And now cheap wine can be enjoyed by average folk like you and me. And if there's any hobos out there listening out there, I didn't mean to offend you there. So here is that outtakes from these commercials here.
I should know what something
is. You just do anything?
No, it's a, sorry, car. Now rolling.
102, take two.
The French champagne. It's always been celebrated for its excellence. There's a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Paul Masson,
102, take three.
Action, please.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So
cut.
Paul Masson, super.
I love how the director just shouts cut in the middle of his lines because he knows this shit's just so unusable. He's got those great beginnings there of a, I don't know what he's doing there exactly, but hey, another celebrity, this is a great double whammy commercial because it's a commercial for the McDonald's McDLT sandwich. I believe this came out around 83. And the McDLT is a great long-forgotten sandwich of McDonald's history that was actually pretty darn good. There's a couple of them that have disappeared through the years. There was the McLean Deluxe, which was a lower-fat burger that I believe actually had bits of seaweed mixed in with the hamburger. And I remember some woman got really mad because she was allergic to seaweed and almost died from eating this burger. But that's not around anymore. And of course, there's the Arch Deluxe, which they had a horribly failed marketing attempt to have a burger that was only for adults. And they had commercials where kids weren't allowed to eat it. And, of course, that didn't do very well either. But the McDLT was great. The idea with the McDLT was it came in this incredibly wasteful packaging. It was when they were still using the styrofoam clamshells to hold the burgers. And this had the hot side and the cool side. So there's one side of it had the top bun and the burger part, and then another one had the lettuce and tomato and everything so that you can keep the hot side hot and the cool side cool. And the person who does the commercial that launched this sandwich was Jason Alexander, who you know as George Costanza from the Seinfeld show and several failed TV series that followed that. So here we go. This is the commercial for
the
McDLT.
You see, you're getting tired of lettuce and tomato hamburgers in this town that don't quite make it?
Yeah!
You see, that just once you'd like your hamburger hot and your lettuce and tomato cool and crisp all at the same time?
Yeah!
Well, I say, you got it. I'm talking McDonald's new lettuce and tomato hamburger, the McDLT. I'm talking quarter pound of beef.
By the way, this is actually Jason Alexander singing in this commercial. It's pretty funny. If you just can imagine George Costanza doing this commercial, it's even funnier. The commercial, if I could paint a picture for it a little bit better, he's actually got a crowd of people following him down the street like he's the Messiah, practically, and they're just like hanging on every word that he says, and he's starting to sing about it, and they're dancing in the street, very much like those Dr. Pepper, I'm a Pepper commercials they used to have. And he's got this rich, thick, full head of hair with no glasses, so you almost don't even recognize him. So, anyway, here's the rest of that commercial. There's still about 40 seconds left.
Beef on the hot, hot side.
And the hot stays hot.
The new McDLT.
Hot, hot.
Crisp lettuce and tomato on the cool, cool side.
And the cool stays cool.
The new McDLT.
Cool crisp.
The beef stays hot. The cool stays crisp. Put it together, you can't resist. The hottest taste, the coolest dish.
Keep it hot, hot.
Keep it cool, cool.
McDLT, McDLT, hot beefy McD, cool crisp LT, McDLT, it's a good time, hot beefy McD,
for the great taste,
cool crisp LT,
of McDonald's, could be the best tasting lettuce and tomato hamburger ever,
new McDLT.
Here's an unusual public service announcement that was taped with the Carpenters, Karen Carpenter and her brother John Carpenter. I don't know what his name is, but it's about not drinking and driving. Of course, they should have done a commercial for actually eating your food and keeping it down. Would have been more useful for her and folks out there, but here you go.
We're very proud of the more than 30 million records our fans have collected over the past 10 years, but there's one record we'd like fewer of you to collect. That's the record of a drinking driver.
Each year, over 50% of the deaths caused on California highways involve drinking drivers. If you've had something to drink, do yourself and all of us a favor. Don't get behind the wheel.
The California Highway Patrol would really appreciate it.
And so would we.
Good old Carpenters. Favorite choice of sober music fans everywhere. Hey, I want to take a little bit of a break from the commercials here and actually read a poem to you. It's a very small poem. But one of my favorite writers, let alone poets, is a gentleman by the name of Charles Bukowski. And his poetry is really accessible to people that hate poetry. And he's just a famous alcoholic-oriented writer. And if you've seen the movie Barfly with Mickey Rourke and Faye Dunaway, he wrote the screenplay for that. And I believe there's a documentary out there that you can see and a couple other things. And anyway, this is a cool poem that I think fits in with our retro theme. It's called Silk. And this is from his book, Dangling in the Turnifortia. And that was originally published back in 1981. So here we go. Silken kneecaps, blue garters, pink garters. All through the Depression, better than the NRA, the WPA. Silken legs for Cagney and Gable and all the boys in the neighborhood. Now that pantyhose is worn, a man no longer gets to watch. A strange woman on the streets with her fine legs pulling her stockings up, stretching that silk over the kneecaps with just a glimpse of white flesh and pink petticoat. I suppose it's best, though, that women be comfortable. I wouldn't like to go around pulling my stockings up continually, yet some of us who remember are still wistful of that era, dreaming of those legs of the 1930s. Legs no longer beautiful now, or legs that are dead, simply bone. But legs we remember the other way. Those legs that kept the silkworms busy. Legs that were there for our fathers and uncles. Legs for Cagney and Gable and all the boys in the neighborhood. So that again is from his book, Dangling in the Turnifortia. If you go to Amazon and just type Bukowski, you'll find all kinds of stuff. I recommend this as a good book to start with his poetry. And he writes some great stories as well. He's got this semi-biographical character that he uses called Henry Chinaski. And reading Post Office and Ham on Rye would be really good choices for you as well. So, love to hear from you if you're a Bukowski fan out there as well. So, as always, you can visit us at RetroCrush.com and email me at rberry@RetroCrush.com. Got some cool emails recently I thought I'd read you. Got one from Justin from Drink Till We're Funny podcast. It's like, so happy to actually get some email from another podcaster whose podcast I like. But he writes, Robert, you're a crazy fool. I just listened to your Gangbang podcast. That was our last episode. And I was so honored to hear our name. Thanks for all your encouragement. I'm loving your podcast, too. When will you do a Transformer special? Keep in touch, you sexy beast, Justin. So you got to check them out. You can go to their website at dtwfpodcast.com, and all the instructions to listen to their podcast are there. I think I plugged them once before without a lot of details, but really, it's one of the funniest and more accessible podcasts that you can try out there right now. It's only a weekly show. It's about 45 minutes long. And if you've got a commute that's about that time, it's just a great way to start the day. They laugh like crazy, talk about a lot of funny things, and it's totally worth your time. So make sure you check out the Drink Till We're Funny podcast.
In the dull and commonplace occurrences of day-to-day living, one thing stands out as a completely unique experience. Colt 45 Malt Liquor.
Now here's a weird commercial for a product they don't make anymore. It was something called Shake a Puddin', and it was these containers of this pudding powder that I believe you just put cold water in, and you'd shake it up, and then you'd have pudding. Shake a pudding. So here is this commercial. It's probably from around 1953 for Shake a Puddin', and it's got a really funny jingle. And
shake a pudding. Here's a new kind of pudding that you can make. It is called Shake a Pudding, and all you do is shake it.
want at your next party. In minutes, you've got it made. Shake a Puddin' Dessert Mix comes in your favorite flavor, rich with real milk solids. Comes complete with four puddings, lids, spoons, and shakers. Throw them away when you're done.
Shake, shake, shake a puddin', 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 shake a puddin'.
New from Royal.
What a crazy way to make dessert.
I had some bad fish last night, and I've been shaking a puddin' every time I go to the bathroom, if you know what I mean. Here's a commercial from with the 50s as well for Kool-Aid, and this is before they had the Kool-Aid man busting through walls. This is a really bizarre commercial. The setup of this is that there's some kids just walking down the street whistling, and then some other kids join them and start whistling. And they go to the kid's mom's house. It's got a pretty sexy voice. And she starts telling them about the healthy virtues of Kool-Aid because it's just so healthy for you. It's cheap, and it does have the Parents Magazine seal of approval, so you know it's good for you. So here is the commercial for Kool-Aid.
You ever made
Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid.
Ensure that the envelope says
Kool-Aid.
You can give your youngsters a lot of pleasure with Kool-Aid. You know it's pure and good. It has the Parents Magazine seal. And it's so thrifty. A 5-cent package makes 2 full quarts. Just add Kool-Aid to water with ice. Add some sugar and stir.
For the very best drink you ever made.
Be sure that the envelope says
Kool-Aid. Wow, that's just incredible. I'll have to dig up these. I got some commercials for Funny Face Punch, which was a Kool-Aid competitor that came out in the late 50s. And it had a couple flavors that were just very racist that they had to change. One of them was called Engine Orange, and they had another one that was Chinese Cherry, and the package had this slant-eyed cherry with big buck teeth, and whenever they talked about that flavor, they would play this big Chinese gong, and you're like, oh, Chinese cherry is so good! So just horrible, horrible stuff. Usually around this time of year, all of our Halloween content really makes our site's traffic just go up at RetroCrush.com. In fact, I think if you just type Halloween costumes, RetroCrush is like the number 6 thing that gets returned on Google. So it's always been pretty good for us, and it usually attracts a lot of people that don't normally read the site and stumble on us, which is good because we get some new readers. But I also get emails like this one here, a gentleman by the name of Stuart Powner, and I use that term gentleman loosely here. I guess he looked at our 100 scariest movie scenes of all time feature. And, you know, with this I recognize just the scary scenes, not necessarily the scary movie. And there's a couple of films that have more than one entry. For example, The Shining has several entries on there because there's just several scenes there that are just so, so scary. So Stuart writes, what is the mere point? I gotta remember when I record these podcasts to turn my email off because it keeps making the You Got Mail sound there. But it says, what is the mere point in this Retro Crush? Fucking The Shining is up there, featured at least 4 times. Red Rums, 2 girls who chop the fuck out of each other, and then it ends with, you are a silly, thick cunt. So, nice to get that positive feedback there, and, honestly, I'm actually kind of an unfunny slim cunt, so get it right there, Stuart. Monica Brown writes to us, a really nice email, says, your website has given me such happiness. Well, geez, happiness. I sound like an idiot. Anyhow, myself, my family, friends, have a great time cruising your website. Went on to say some of the nice things about the Dawn of the Dead movie. And lastly, I've got this crazy email that was really funny. Oh, from Tasmania, I believe. It says, hey, Rob, just wanted to say hi from Tasmania. This is from Matt Brooks. and which is a small island south of Australia. I'm hooked on your website and podcast. I can't remember how I found your site, but I started with podcast number 26, and I had to go get the rest. They are keeping me sane through the day and bringing back some memories of old TV shows and movies. My girlfriend's planning her 20th birthday party for November, and she wanted a theme. Your site gave me the idea to do a retro 80s party. Me being older than her, I had grown up through the 80s, so I had some ideas with movies, music, etc. Anyway, keep up the great work. And that's from Matt Brooks in Tasmania. Well, it's a really, really cool remote part of the world there to get. And I mean remote from America. I know it's probably insulting for me to talk about all these faraway places when you're all listening from there, but it's really cool to hear that stuff. Well, I'm going to leave you today with a really funny public service announcement video. I think it must have been given to schools. And I guess the title could be called Don't Copy That Floppy. And you remembered back in the day when the initial computer games were coming out, it was really easy to make copies of them. You could just copy it straight from one disk to the other, copy it right off the computer. And sometimes they tried all these crazy things to keep you from copying the floppy disks, like they'd have a special word in the manual that you needed to actually play the game. So it would say, like, you know, turn to page 47 and look on paragraph 2. What is the third word? Well, then people got around that by just making Xerox copies of the instruction manuals. And they even had some instruction manuals that had secret words hidden that you can only look at if you looked through, like, red plastic glasses. So if you Xeroxed them, that wouldn't work. So just all this crazy, crazy stuff like that. And this video, which I'm playing the audio of here, and we'll get it on the website for you to check out shortly, but it's got these two kids that are playing a game, and they decide to make a copy of it. And then this, like, weird rapping dude comes out of the computer and starts rapping at them about how copying a floppy disk is bad. And he goes on to say that, you know, if publishers keep getting their games copied, they're just going to stop making games. And the computer industry as we know it will just disappear. So as you can see, they were very prophetic with that. They failed to realize that people will just start charging $80 for games instead. Anyway, we're gonna close out this show with this. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back at the end just to say goodbye to you here.
Look out! Oh, God.
I'm
Hello.
Trying.
Are you
I'm
watching?
Trying.
Are you
I'm going to be here.
I'm telling you that
you're not
going to
be.
There's one behind you.
Oh man!
Crash and burn.
Too bad, Corey. Guess that makes me the winner
again. Temporary winner. I've been holding back. I've been giving you a break, just so you get the hang of it. But now it's time to teach you a little respect.
Right. That it'll have to be next time. It's almost fourth period, and I do not want to get caught in here.
But, Jane, hold up. Look, I brought a disc, and we could copy this, okay? And we could play it on my brother's computer.
Okay, no problem. All we gotta do is...
Whoa. Are you sure you know what you're doing?
You right? Did I hear you saying that you're gonna make a copy of a game without paying? Come on, guys! I thought you'd do better. Don't copy that floppy!
Wait a minute! Who the heck are you anyway?
Yeah, what are you doing on my computer?
I'm your MC, Double Tap, DP, that's the disc protector. For you and the posse, that's the artist, writers, designers, and programmers. The growth of the images for games and grammar. The best you learn, but also play. The game you came here for today. Now I know you love the games, and that's alright to do. Because the posse who makes them, they love them too. But if you start stealing, there's no more they can do.
But I just want to make one copy.
You say, I'll just make a copy for me and a friend. Then he'll make one and she'll make one, and where will it end? One leads to another, then 10, then more. And no one buys any discs from the store. So no one gets paid and they can't make more. The posse breaks up and then closes the store. Don't copy that floppy. So let me break this down for you.
Don't.
No common San Diego, no more Oregon Trail. Tetris than the other. They're all gonna fail. Not because we want it, but because you're just taking it. Disrespecting all the folks who are making it. The more you fake, the less there will be. The bits become fewer, the gains fall away. The stream starts to shrink, and then it will fade. Programs fall through a black hole in space. The computer world becomes bleak and dark. Loses its life, and the stream goes to dark.
Welcome to the end of the computer age.